A trove of internal documents from Facebook reveals what the company knew about problematic messages on its platform and how it's trying to fix things. We should note Facebook is a sponsor of NPR. The Wall Street Journal is reporting a series called The Facebook Files. Sam Schechner is on the reporting team, and he joins us. Sam, welcome.
Hello.
Sam, I want to delve into vaccine misinformation and what you found. But first, the whole series reveals Facebook's own research revealing damaging effects on teen images and human trafficking and promoting discord in general. Can you first describe the documents you obtained and what they tell you?
What we have is a collection of internal communications that give us what we think is an unparalleled picture of how Facebook is aware that the products and systems central to its business routinely fail and cause harm. The kinds of documents we're talking about are internal PowerPoint-style presentations, also a sort of version of Facebook that they use to actually run the business. They have a workplace version of Facebook, and so you'll have documents and posts posted there, and then their responses from other Facebook employees.
Yeah. So you got this look onto the inside of the company, and let me ask you what the inside conversation has been about vaccine information and what they know on the inside about it. I mean, has it been clear to the executives on the inside of Facebook that vaccine information has been a big problem?
Well, what we know from the documents is that at least among a group of data scientists who are mostly part of a team called the Integrity Team, they definitely were aware of a problem. So, you know, for instance, at the same time as Mark Zuckerberg this spring was out there talking about how the company had, quote, already connected more than 2 billion people to authoritative COVID-19 information, you had data scientists inside who were describing, quote, cesspools of anti-vaccine comments. You know, posts from UNICEF or the World Health Organization would sometimes, as the documents say, be swarmed by anti-vaccine comments. There was one analysis we saw where data scientists internally concluded that roughly 41% of comments on English language vaccine-related posts risked discouraging vaccinations. They were, to use Facebook lingo, vaccine hesitant. And users were seeing comments on vaccine-related posts 775 million times a day.
Yeah. Now, I want to play you a little piece of sound. Last month, Gail King of CBS asked Mark Zuckerberg about research from Northwestern University that said people who were the most reliant on Facebook for information were less likely to be vaccinated. Here's part of his answer.
If this were primarily a question about social media, then I think you'd see that being the effect in all of these countries where people use it. But I think that there's something that's unique in our ecosystem here, whether it's, you know, some of the political leaders or some of the media figures, that I think is different than what we're seeing across a lot of Europe or across a lot of other countries that are leading to higher levels of this. So I don't think pinning this on social media primarily is accurate.
So Mark Zuckerberg is suggesting that some of this at least is about politics in the U.S., but how does that square with your reporting?
Well, you know, the political environment in which social media exists seems highly relevant to what occurs on the platform. That being said, there's clearly alarm here in terms of how widespread this sentiment was, far outpacing the level of vaccine hesitancy that polls at the time were showing. And the company scrambled to try and take on this problem by, you know, limiting the number of comments that people could do per hour, which I think is an indication that they saw this as a problem and not merely a reflection of what happens on cable news.
And is it your sense things might be starting to change? I mean, you're describing there's evidence of disproportionate, you know, amplifying of vaccine misinformation on Facebook, that they're aware of it, that they're trying to change things. And then there's this public outrage on this, right? Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut compares this to big tobacco back in the day, targeting people with dangerous information while masking the science in public and privately, kind of knowing what's really going on here. Is there any sense that there's going to be fundamental change at Facebook, its algorithm, and what we're going to see?
Well, that's a very good question. There certainly is internally, from our reporting, an awareness that the company is often late to tackling problems. I mean, one document that we read talked about how Facebook, you know, tends to act late in their point of view in evolving situations, that they take minimal action at first, and then once there's an outcry, they suddenly rush and at times overreact, leading to further backlash. And they were hoping that COVID would prove a chance for the company to act earlier and perhaps avoid this cycle. But we've spoken to people familiar with a gathering earlier this month in and around Menlo Park, which is where Facebook is based. And some officials were discussing whether Facebook has gotten too big with too much data flowing to manage all of its content. The tone from some participants was, quote, we created the machine and we can't control the machine. And so that does raise the question of whether they are starting to internally think about changing some of the governance or ways they handle these issues.
Sam Schechner is senior tech reporter for The Wall Street Journal. We will link to your investigation on our site, hereandnow.org. Sam, thanks for the time.
Thanks so much for having me.